Often imitated, never duplicated, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A podcast for Medicare looky-loos. Never says issues when he really means problems. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man. I'd like to say another exciting episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, but let's face it, how exciting can Medicare ever really be? It's fun if you are us, and it's tolerable if you are you. If you are Drew McMillan, it is a way to strut your stuff, your entertainment skills coming to the fore. Boy, Drew has a brand new little daughter and a very cautious wife. And the Ontario branch of the Jones family is under a little stress right now because middle child, Robbie, has bought a new house and he's rehabbing this thing. And he came down with a very mild case of the Wuhan flu. But because of little Nora's mother being very, very cautious, none of the McMillans are going to be able to hang out with Nora for something like 6 months. I don't know. It's something outrageously long. So they're all kind of sad. Nora's going to actually probably grow up and be homeschooled and wind up going to college before they'll be allowed to see her. But in any event, I guess photographs will have to do. And Drew and his lovely wife, Magda, I'm sure will provide plenty of photographs. So that's what's going on in Canada. In the States, apparently, we're not quite as concerned. That's what I like to see. I haven't actually owned one of these stupid masks, except for my military gas mask, which I make as a political statement. I put that sucker on every once in a while. Haven't seen a mask in use around here in quite some time. So I think things are heading in the right direction. Anyway, we are here to help you understand and not fear the change from Obamacare to Medicare. Doesn't matter whether you're turning 65 or whether you're maybe retiring from your job long after you turn 65. You could be 68, you could be 70, you could be 72, you could be 104. And when you leave your company's health plan, you have an unlimited right to go on Medicare and to get all the other Medicare coverages you need without proving that you're in good health. It's just, given to you as a right. So that's what we're here for, to help you understand and make the best choices for you as you approach that transition from Obamacare to Medicare. And with me, helping me do that, as always, is Randy Carson, the world's greatest dial twister. Hiya, Randy.
Well, thanks, Doug. That's a very positive statement. I appreciate that.
Well, you're a positive guy. I'm positive of that.
I was just going to mention that since Nora has now gotten trapped in the COVID lockdown,
yeah,
I think it would be a very, very good time for her to get busy learning the broadcasting.
Well,
business.
You did order some pink baby-sized headphones, and I'm...
Yes, and they are going to be delivered today.
Well, that would be all she needs to be professionally equipped, and then her father's good example and some training, and she'll be a pro by the time she's released from quarantine.
Yeah, I'm afraid, given the fact of, how you described it, she may be heading off to college before we can, see her in person.
Absolutely. It's very possible that she's going to be locked up, until hell freezes over. And they're taking it way too seriously in Canada. They don't understand about immune systems, I guess. And so it's an unfortunate set of circumstances, and I think there are lessons to be learned here, but I'm dangerously close to political pontification, and that's not what we're doing here.
Well, let me just, this is not political pontification, it's just a fact. you mentioned earlier that you see the mask wearing easing mm-hmm. up a little bit here in Arizona. I agree with that. Yesterday, I went to get my eyes checked, and I was, you know, tiptoeing into the office, not knowing just exactly what I was going to be required to do. And I also found out that the front desk receptionist said, "You don't need no stinking mask. Go ahead and sit down." So I like that idea.
Absolutely. We have been to several restaurants lately, and only one has a sign on the door. And that one, that sign says, masks recommended, which is the next step in the right direction to optional. And I like that freedom. I don't care if other people wear masks, but I don't want to be forced to wear a mask knowing how ineffective they are at doing whatever the do-gooders think that they're supposed to do. They are completely ineffectual, I guess. Then we went up to Flagstaff, and that's a college town, and the college lefty, you know, oversight or opinion of everything causes all these people to be walking around with masks on outside, which is ridiculous, especially if you've been inoculated. Everywhere we went to places, including the hotel I stayed in and out of that hotel several times, big signs on the door, "You must wear a mask to enter here." Everybody masked up. They never said a thing to me. The wife and I came and went with no masks at all and no admonition that we have done anything wrong. So the signs now are becoming for show, just for the authorities. In other words, the cops will swing by and make sure that the hotel is doing everything it can to make the guests wear masks. But nobody gives a rat's patoot. And frankly, the only people wearing masks, it was a bunch of parents with their soccer playing kids, you know, basically the least COVID likely to have crowd in the planet.
Yeah.
Mary and I are walking around. There's some other old people walking around, no masks. Why do they have the signs on the door? Because, we went to one of our favorite restaurants. The help is all wearing masks. None of the patrons are. I talked to one of my favorite waiters there. I said, "When are they going to let you out from under this mask mandate?" And he said, "I got two things to tell you. First of all, it's OSHA. So it's a federal government thing because people vote for Democrats. You're going to get a lockdown society." And he says OSHA has told restaurants that it is important to follow mask mandating rules, even though they don't have any authority to enforce. So the restaurants avoid legal liability by just doing what that horrible federal bureaucracy tells them to do. And then he says, "But let me show you about this mask." And he pulled it away from his face and I could see right through it. I could count his teeth if I had wanted to. He said, "This thing is even worse than a regular paper mask." He said, it allows us to breathe, so we're not breathing our own CO2. But it's like a window screen, basically.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Doug. We're going to have to get off onto our Medicare shtick here shortly. But
yeah.
Bottom line is, after I got my, my Wuhan flu, trip to the hospital for two weeks.
Oh, God, you were in bad shape.
When I came out of there, uh-huh. I literally could not suck enough air through one of those masks after I got out of there.
It's so ridiculous.
I understand what they're talking about, but ultimately now when I'm going into places, they're going, "Oh, you don't need that mask." I'm going, "All right, now we're making progress."
And of course, you heard about the guy with the t-shirt store in Cave Creek a couple of months ago. He has a sign out in front of his store that says "No masks allowed."
Yeah.
This is back around, January.
"You wear a mask, I'm going to hurt you."
Exactly. And so some customer came in there, saw that sign and said, "Hey, I'm wearing a mask." He was trying to cause trouble. And the guy that owned the store wound up being assaulted by this mask wearing moron. And he had to pull his piece to stop the guy from getting, physically violent.
And so, this was the store owner that pulled his piece?
The store owner had to pull his piece to defend himself from the mask wearer.
How does that mask deflect lead?
Apparently not. I'm guessing not. But anyway, we came here to talk about Medicare, not masks. And let's do that, shall we? What I thought I would address today is the idea of short-term temporary health insurance. Now, this is an idea, a kind of a medical insurance plan that's been around for a long time. And what happened was it used to be inexpensive because you would buy this short-term medical insurance for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, up to a year. And if you had any diseases at all, and if you needed medical treatment, the plans would not pay a benefit. They would not pay your doctor's bills if it was something that you had before you got the plan. Now, there was no application that said, give us your health history back in the 70s and 80s when I first got into the health insurance business. There was no health questionnaire because these plans had underwriting after the fact. In other words, if you bought one of these plans and you paid a really inexpensive price, like maybe $100 for three or four months coverage, and you didn't submit a bill for any medical service, then everything was fine. If you did, if you went to a doctor and said, here, pay my doctor's bill, then they're going to start examining and doing the underwriting after the fact to find out if that was an illness or an injury or something that you had before you got the plan. And then if it was, they would deny the claim. So you knew going in that it was inexpensive and easily available because it wasn't dependent upon your good health. It was designed to protect you from things that might happen to you while you're covered under the plan. And so that went away when Obamacare, when the Democrats got a hold of both houses of Congress back in, 2010, was it, or thereabouts, the Congress eventually passed Obamacare. I think it went into full force in 2016, but it eliminated temporary medical insurance. And for years, that was gone. Then the Republicans got a hold of the Congress, and they reinstituted temporary health insurance, which is a real godsend when you consider the outrageously expensive cost of Obamacare type of plans. The temporary medical plans, again, do not cover anything, treatment for anything. They won't pay medical bills for treatment for anything that you had before you got the plan. But now the applications are somewhat longer and more complicated because so many people gamed the system. They would be pregnant. And so now they ask if you're pregnant or likely to be, and there are some other medical questions. But basically, short-term insurance is now available, and it has some excellent potential uses to solve problems for people who are facing certain situations with respect to Medicare. This would often be, let's say a husband turns age 65 and he goes on Medicare. His wife has limited options, and the options that are there are expensive because they're going to be Obamacare plans. And so if you don't want a plan that has a $500, $600, $700, $800 a month premium, and if your spouse is going to follow you to age 65, follow you into Medicare within a year or maybe 2 years, then if that spouse is healthy and doesn't have any ongoing conditions, hasn't had cancer that might recur or something like that, then a short-term medical plan may be the most cost-effective choice for your family. And the reason for that is because they don't have to pay for ongoing medical conditions. They don't have to pay for dental, for pregnancy, and all the other things that all Obamacare plans are forced to cover. And therefore, they are much more cost effective. So short-term health insurance is offered by several different companies. I've got an article here written by Marissa Figot, and it was updated in January of 2021. We publish unbiased product reviews. Our opinions are our own and are not influenced by payment we receive from our advertising partners. So this article says the best short-term health insurance providers. So there are four of them that this article promotes. One of them is Everest. They say that one is best overall. Now, why does Everest why does that top their list of four companies? Here are the pros and the cons of Everest short-term health insurance. It does not confine you to a network. Well, that's just like Medicare and just like the Medicare supplement plans that Randy and I are always yakking about. Those do not have a network of doctors and hospitals either. You can go anywhere you want. Everest also has low copay and low coinsurance options. Now, of course, that's going to put upward pressure on the price, the premium. They have a wellness benefit. Well, I'm well enough. I don't need wellness for me. Home health care, physical therapy, mental health, and substance abuse benefits are there. Now, those are going to drive the price up a little bit too. So maybe it's not the cheapest around. Now, the cons of this particular company's plan: prescriptions are not covered. Well, that's not surprising. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. Well, I don't think they're ever going to be covered under one of these plans. And it's available only in a limited number of states. But that is Everest. Now, I contracted with a company called Pivot Health. They're on the second of the list of best value. Of the list of the four companies, this article addresses best overall was that Everest thing we just talked about. Best value, Pivot Health. And out of the list of four, this is the one that I'm contracted with, and I have sold it to some people who are close enough to Medicare to not want to pay Obamacare prices, but they want coverage, protection, if something should befall them before they actually turn 65 and the slate gets wiped clean. So this is ideal for somebody who's like 63 and they're worried about accidental injury. They're not too worried about disease. They don't have any ongoing diseases. So this is a very cost-effective solution. Now, Pivot Health, the pros of Pivot Health: no network, all doctors are accessible, access to 24/7 telemedicine. They have discount programs and they have prescription coverage. The cons: very low maximums on the very cheapest plans. Well, then don't buy the cheapest plans. Also, they require emergency pre-certification within 48 hours. Now, that's the sort of thing that the medical professionals can help you with. When you're admitted to a hospital or an emergency room or whatever, they always want to see your card, your insurance coverage card. And I'm sure that on the Pivot Health ID card, it's going to tell you, you better pre-certify within 48 hours or we're not paying the bill. Now, this company's been around since 2016, managing over $7 billion in insurance premiums and is affiliated with Communicating for America, a consumer advocacy group in favor of affordable health care for Americans. You know, I don't really care what their politics are as long as they're going to pay the medical bills. Then there are two other ones they have described here. IHC Group, and that is, the pros. Some plans include routine checkups. X-rays and some other diagnostic exams are included. You have the option of using your own doctor in or out of network. Lifetime maximums up to $2 million, and pre-existing conditions are covered under some plans up to $25,000. Now, the cons: sports-related injuries are not covered. Highly customizable plans may exclude many coverages. Some plans may have high deductibles before you can access coverage, and you may be required to join their association. And that's kind of a legality about health insurance. Health insurance underwriters and actuaries are going to give you a break if you are in the position of buying their health insurance products for a reason other than you need health insurance, like you're getting employed by a company. When you join that plan, they take a more benign view of your participation in the health plan. If you were able to just walk in the door and say, hey, insure me because I don't have any health insurance, then that would be very expensive and they would be skeptical, because people who want insurance, who call around trying to get insurance, usually need the insurance because something is wrong with them. So that is an overall rule about health insurance. So this company, IHC Health Group, they say is the best for customized coverage. And they finally use another carrier, best for longest policy options, is our old buddy, United Healthcare. Not really old buddy. They're like a mortal enemy because they're in bed with an organization that I'm not too fond of, which is ARP. But United Healthcare will provide up to a three-year policy. They have $5,000 prescription coverage available. Preventive care wellness checks are covered, and some pre-existing conditions may be covered after 12 months. The cons of their plan, United Healthcare, only available in 19 states. I don't know which states they are, but that's going to leave out a lot of people that might be interested. Issue ages 19 to age 65, reduced out-of-network coverage that can vary, and some plans require you to join their association, FACT, which I don't know what it says or what it stands for. Oh, yeah. Federation of American Consumers and Travelers. That's fact. So that's their little association. I think it's kind of a fake association, just like the other one I mentioned earlier, to allow another reason besides the fact that you need insurance so that underwriters and actuaries will not, you know, freak out anytime somebody joins the health insurance plan. Well, what they're doing is they're joining that association, and then the health insurance is made available to them because they're members of the association. Seems convoluted now, but that's the way it works in the insurance game. So basically, this article goes on to compare these four companies in many different parameters. And I am going to stop here because, frankly, the whole idea of temporary health insurance is the reason that I'm discussing it at all. If you got a spouse, or if you lose your job or your corporate health insurance, and you haven't quite hit that Medicare age, you can consider short-term health insurance. You can ask me, or you can ask some other insurance dope, and they will tell you, well, yes, I have product just for you. Now, I would say that because I've got a product for you, but recently a gentleman in Washington State asked me for it. And I said, sure, hang on for a minute. And I looked on my list of states, and sure enough, the product I use is not available in Washington. So I had to disappoint him. But other states where you find these short-term health insurance plans could be an excellent cost-effective answer to those who are waiting for Medicare to be old enough or to qualify for Medicare. So that's my story today, Randy.
I hope got a that question. Was... I got a away. Question. You know me.
Yeah, I do.
I have
not in the biblical sense, though.
Well, that's true. But I have a stump the insurance guy question.
That's my favorite game.
So let's pretend that we have a situation like you've been describing, where one of the spousal units is quite a few years off before hitting Medicare.
Uh-huh.
And let's further assume that that particular spousal unit was healthy as a buffalo.
Right.
Would this be an option for that? Can you roll one of these things over? You said one of those plans was 19 to 65. Can you roll one of these plans over multiple times?
Not indefinitely. The most I've ever seen is three policies, one after the other, 365 days. So you can restart it. So you can be covered for a year and then restart it for another year and then restart it for another year. But if you had something bad happen to you, like you had an elephant step on your foot and it yeah. wasn't completely healed, that would be considered pre-existing for that second or third policy.
Okay.
So it's like a new deal. You know, once your period of time that you bought the insurance for ends and you want to cover an additional amount of time, you got to start from scratch.
So that particular company that you said you could buy a three-year policy,
uh-huh.
Can you roll that one over?
You know, I haven't asked, but I think what happens is you can roll it over, but you have to start over again, because I think mostly the federal law says 1 year at a time. So you know, now I'm feeling kind of silly that I didn't read this complete article and memorize all the details. But typically, A company is going to cover you for a year under this short-term health insurance arrangement. If you can get a company to issue 2 years of coverage or 3 years of coverage, my understanding is that you're getting it for a year, then you're starting over with a second year, and then you're starting over with a third year. If it's any more comprehensive than that, it's going to be more costly too. And remember, the whole reason for this existing is cost-effective coverage. If you don't have anything wrong with you, you don't want to, you know, if a bus comes down the road and you get hurt, that's what you're looking to protect yourself against. If you have some kind of dread disease and you get one of these plans, it's not going to pay for any treatment for that dread disease that you already had when you bought the insurance. So what you're looking for is a healthy person that's not too accident prone. And then hopefully that health stays good until you get to Medicare. When you hit Medicare, they don't ask what your previous health conditions were. It's a clean slate, starts from scratch.
That's what I wanted to know. So anyway, thank you, Doug, for answering that very pithy question.
Well, pissy or pithy?
Pithy.
Okay.
So we need to thank the folks. The time is up. Our gas is out. You know, the plane is slowly drifting in for a landing. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. But before we leave, please go to Amazon.com, order up your book, Medicare for the Lazy Man. 2021 is the one you want. Get several, because they are a good read and very necessary. Now, someday we're going to be able to say we have an audio book. But yeah. Doug just got another answer back from the audio book powers that be that said, thank you for your inquiry. And there was no answer.
Sincerely yours.
Sincerely yours. Quality assurance.
Yeah. So it's a frustrating thing, but I know there's a certain percentage of the audience that really enjoys audiobooks. So all I can suggest is just listen to our 180 some episodes, and that'll be kind of like an audiobook. If you can pick and choose the episodes you listen to, you'll have eventually most of the content of the book. And we always enjoy you coming to join us for episodes of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. So I hope you'll be back on our next recording, our next posting of an episode.
Absolutely. Well, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, and the only guy in Oklahoma who cannot get an audiobook on the market just yet.
Sadly. But thank you so much, people, and we'll see you next time.